Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai, Prashant Thiralayam, giving you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to continue with the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignyasa program. At the outset, we shall collectively offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and pray to him that he makes us his instruments, and whatever we think, whatever we speak, whatever we do is his choice and his will. With this prayer from our hearts, I now invite Praveena sir to continue with the elaboration of the essentials of the fundamentals of Vedic Sanskrit, the rules of chanting the Vedas, and many more details and many more finer aspects of Vedam. So, Sairam, Praveena sir.
Sairam to all of you.
So, before we start, as usual, we shall commence the session with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram, sir.
Yes, we'll chant together.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kavinkavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Arashrunvannoti Vissedasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavato Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Om Shri Sairam. In the session previous to today, we had discussed about the importance and also the magnanimity of this language, beautiful language of Sanskrit. Very, very old language, but yet very powerful and very sacred language. The very fact that we have all our Bharatiya scripts written, the older scripts, the ancient scripts written, scriptures in this language, that itself shows that this language is really very precious language and all powerful language. One important thing that we can make note of here is how the sound is emanated as we pronounce the words in Sanskrit. It's very technical and scientific also. When we utter any word, obviously these words are made of the syllables. And one thing we can make out very clearly is that in Sanskrit language, the sound production, it matches with the vocal apparatus. Accordingly, we have even different names which are given to the set of such sounds which emanate as we pronounce these very, very precious syllables of Sanskrit. So it could be having the origin, the sounds could be having their origin either from the throat itself or maybe from the tongue, or the teeth may be involved in it. Or you can see the various parts are involved in the production of this sound. So kanthya, talavya, ostya, dantya, then also murdhanya, these five important sets of syllables based on where they are produced, how they are produced, and how the vocal apparatus is playing an important role in producing these sounds, and how the modulation can be done using our own tongue. So that's how it exactly matches with the modifications of the various parts in the vocal apparatus, and sounds are produced.
And sir, Swami always emphasizes that when we chant the Omkaram,
yes,
it should emanate from the navel.
Nabhi, yes.
And
yes.
Swami also stresses that when we chant the Vedam, we should always keep our spine very erect.
Correct.
So that
correct.
The right energies are emanated with the right form of chanting.
Yes, yes.
So exactly the sound you say that it emanates from the navel and then goes through the vocal cords and the entire, from the throat till the lips.
Correct.
The entire
correct.
Set of
sound mechanism is really triggered off
yes.
the moment we start uttering word in Sanskrit.
Yes, sir.
I still remember in quite a few of Swami's discourses what Swami has mentioned about the chanting of Omkar, the way in which the aeroplane takes off.
Yes.
A, U, M, Eta, Trayam, Militva, Om, Ityaksharam, Bhavati, it is said. So when we say Omkara, it is actually not a single syllable. It is actually the mixing or the fusion of three important syllables. A, U, M. So these three syllables, A, U, M, Eta, Trayam, Aksharam, Militva, Om, Ityaksharam, Bhavati. Eta, Trayam, Militva. So these three syllables are chanted in unison. And Swami says, Akara, okay, should be chanted with little lower volume,
mm.
okay, just as if the plane is taking off,
mm.
And should come from the obviously from the navel part, and then the slowly volume increases when you say again as you come down with the mm, you can see the volume slowly comes down. So that's how the full concentration has to be there as we chant this Omkara on these three syllables. Many times, sometime we may feel ignorant of these things and simply say,
yes.
Oh, which may not be the correct way of chanting.
Yes.
But how the Swami say, Swami himself has shown how it has to be chanted. A, Uma, so these three syllables, along with their respective volume regulation, should be chanted. I think that may be the one which may be very, very powerful, and we are able to revitalize ourselves
yes.
when we chant this particular Omkara.
Yes, sir.
So here, the vocal apparatus that we have has got specific parts, and in the origin or in producing that particular sound, these vocal apparatus, various parts of this vocal apparatus, they play a very significant role. And according to that, we have to make required modifications, modulations using the tongue.
Hmm.
Okay, and how much of air should be given out. And at what part of the vocal apparatus it has to be given out, exhaled, etc. Now that determines how the sound will be produced by
yes.
us.
Hmm.
Okay. Interestingly, you can see the in Sanskrit language, as all of us know, having all these syllables, swaras, okay, they are very, very precious, significant, and they have to be uttered and also pronounced in the correct way.
Hmm.
Maybe the what we say, the vowels, right from A to Aha, Am Aha. Now these 15 important syllables.
Hmm.
Similarly, now these are called, all of us know, the swaras. After that, what we have is set of the five into five. Okay, having five groups, having five syllables in each. They are vyanjanas. They are called vargiya vyanjanas
hmm.
because they are categorized vargiya vyanjanas. So we got kavarga, chavarga, tavarga, tavarga, and pavarga.
Hmm.
So in each, the varga, in each group, of course, there are five syllables. So altogether, we have 5 into 5, 25 these syllables, vargiya vyanjana, which are categorized, which are named thus to be vargiya vyanjanas. Similarly, what follows next? We have another 15, which are said to be avargiya vyanjanas, not categorized. Right from ya, okay, we have those remaining, which goes till, okay, ksha.
Hmm.
Those 15 syllables, avargiya vyanjanas, yara, lava, shasa, till we have ksha. Of course, some people also include thra and dna, then it becomes 50 plus 2, 52, But altogether we have actually 50, for all our purpose, practical purpose, 50 important syllables as a part of these alphabets in Sanskrit. Okay, and you can see these swaras or these vyanjanas, they're not all alone cannot chant it, but it has to be clubbed with these swaras, then that's how they get a proper sound. For example, k plus a becomes ka, ch plus a becomes cha, or t plus a becomes ta, t plus a becomes ta. Okay, that's how the vyanjanas combined with the swaras, they form a specific syllable which can be produced for using any, producing any kind of sound. Now here, we have this Sanskrit, okay, as we chant the Vedic mantras, it is said, Anuswa Anuswarasya Yahi Pada Savarnaha. So this means, actually we are very very familiar with the usage of this particular sutra. Okay, actually we have got a Shiksha is a branch of this scripture which deals with the all the rules and codes regarding the pronunciation of the words, how the words should be uttered, pronounced, and what are the various sounds that are to be created and how they are created. All the origin of the sound, everything comes under the Shiksha. Now there are the different types of Shiksha, but what we usually follow is Paniya Shiksha, where the all the description regarding the sound formation, its uttering, and how it sounds, that everything is given in a detailed fashion in Paniya Shiksha. And we have many of the words which we commonly utter in Sanskrit. As we chant Vedic mantras also, there are so many words which come. For example, when we say am, am actually is anuswara, anuswara, am. Okay, after that comes aha. But am is one such common vowel which comes at the end of many of the words. For example, when we say Shankara, Ganesh, can you spit this word? I'm sure you have this basic knowledge in Sanskrit. But very, very simple. Shankara, this word. Shankara is a word. Can you try to spit this word?
Sham plus kara.
Very good. Okay, as you spit this word, sham is one word and kara is another word.
Yes.
Okay, literally speaking, the meaning of this, sham is the auspiciousness or the good. Okay, kara, the one who does it.
Yes.
So one who does all auspicious, all good, okay, all what is well-being for all of us, okay, he is Shankara. But just because Sham ends with Anuswara, Am, okay, it actually, when you separate it out, you say Sham. But what comes next is Kara. So Kara is getting merged or fused with, for it's called forming Sandhi with Kara. Yes. So here, Sham plus Kara, but when you club them together, you don't chant it as Shamkara. But you chant Shankara.
But in the script form, it will be like Sham.
Yeah, when you write Sham, okay, of course, Sha plus that that particular Vottu, say, and then Kara. Then you, while writing, you write as it is. But we know it has to be, how it has to be pronounced. Okay, it is not Shamkara, Shankara. So it is true for all the syllables that come as a part of Kavargas.
So I have a doubt, sir, here.
Yes, please.
So when we are in the names of Lord Shiva,
yes,
we chant Shambho.
Shambho, yes.
In the same way as Shankara is chanted,
yes.
Why is it that it is chanted as Shambho? How do you split Shambho?
Yeah, Shambho. Here, bo is one particular syllable, sham is another syllable, okay? But you see, bo is not coming under kavarga. Bo becomes part of papa, baba, ma. Okay, so pavargas part, pavargas, one of the syllables comes as bo. So papa, baba, shambho, shambho. Okay, so here, so what happens here when kavarga comes? The last syllable is called Anunasika. Kavarga's last word is Kakagaganga. Similarly, we have Chavarga's last Anunasika syllable is Nga. Cha-cha, sorry, Nya. Cha-cha-ja-ja-nya. So also we have the tower gas, ta-ta-da-da-na. Na. You have to roll the tongue, then chant. There's a difference between na and na. Unless you roll the tongue and pronounce, that na sound will not come. Okay, we say Narayana, but Narayana is wrong.
Yes, sir.
Okay, or it's not Narayana. Narayana. So that first na is different from this last na, because how to pronounce it, you have to roll your tongue, na.
So this is the usual mistakes that people do.
Yes.
When they chant Narayana. The ana is not pronounced very clearly.
We have to be very conscious.
Yes.
See, while reading the script, we see it very clearly, which is na, which is na. Okay, Narayana. We write it as Narayana. But sometimes some people who are not very conscious and may not be able to chant this na properly, rolling the tongue, they may pronounce as Narayana, which is wrong actually.
Yes.
So when we utter this particular syllable na, obviously the na sound should come very clearly, for which unless you fold your tongue, the na will not come. So as you are clarifying your dot, Shambhu, so ba comes as a part of the last papa baba ma pavarga.
Pavarga.
Pavarga's last anunasika is papa baba ma. So the ma should come. So, anuswara followed by any of these syllables in that particular varga, the last anunasika will come as you join them.
Yes.
As I said here, shamkara, sham anuswara followed by kara. Kavarga's last anunasika is kakagaganga. So, when you club sham plus ka, shanka, kakaganga, shanka,
shanka.
We are taking only ka.
Yes, sir.
Even if you take ga,
ga,
digambara, gangadara, gam plus ga, gang, you don't say gamgadara.
Because it belongs to the kavarga.
Because it's part of the kavarga. So that's how this vyanjana, kavarga, that particular category group, having five syllables, any these four syllables come, okay, which join with previously the or what you say, the anuswara, while joining, you get the last word of that particular varga, which is not by anunasika. That's how you are supposed to pronounce. So it may be, as I said, Gangadhara, or it could be Shankara, or Ka, Shankha, conch. Sham plus Ka, Shankha, Ka, Ka, Ga, Ga. So, all these syllables, which are part of Kavarga, the last Anunasika will come.
Sir, here I have a small query, sir.
Yes.
Because a few listeners had written to us.
Yes.
When it is chanted as Sagumhita Sandhihi.
Okay.
In the script, it is written as Samhita Sandhihi.
Yes.
So, why is it that Sagumhita Sandhihi is chanted?
That may be, we'll discuss about little later in different context, because there is another rule for that. Anuswara followed by E or Sha, there little modification that occurs.
Yes, sir.
Which we'll give, we'll discuss about it with a lot of example, because so many places such things come.
Yes.
We'll discuss about them a bit later, because now, right now we are in this particular Anuswara followed by any of the Vyanjana. Any syllable as a part of the vyanjana, and how the last anunasika will come.
Yes, sir.
Similarly, we have the chavarga, if you say cham plus chala, you don't say cham chala. Okay, here chavarga's last anunasika, cha cha ja ja nya. So, chanchala. Sanchara, movement. So, sam plus chara. Okay, sanchara. So you get sanchara. Cha cha ja ja nya. Sanchara.
Yes.
That sound has to come. Or if you say ghanta, the ghanta, the bell. Okay, here, the ghanta nada, the sound of the bell. Okay, here, gham, anuswara, plus ta.
Tavarga.
Tavarga. So ta ta da da na. Ghanta na. Ghanta. Ghanta. Ghanta nada. Okay, so also tavarga. Wherever it comes, okay, tam plus anything, okay, it becomes ta ta da da na. Na will come. Okay, now this is very true because, for example, very commonly when we chant many of the mantras, even the mantra, for example, Rudram, when we start, can you start Rudram, Ganesh? How we start this chanting Rudram?
Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya.
Tell me, why you're telling Om Namo?
Om plus Namo when
yes,
you chant.
Exactly here. Okay. Actually, if you when you chant separately, it is Om, Om. But Om, Anuswara. It's ending with Anuswara. But Namo, the very next syllable is Na, the starting syllable. But when they merge, you say Anuswara followed by Na. Ta ta da da na. Okay, so ta ta da da na itself will come because na is vyanjana there. That na, Tavargas, the last syllable is na. So that's how Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya when we chant separately. But the moment we combine them, it becomes Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya.
Very unknowingly we keep chanting this, sir.
Yes.
When we understand the basics of this, then we have more clarity
while
chanting.
This is the grammatical base of what we chant actually.
Yes, sir.
We chant, we got used to it. Okay, but sometimes we may tend to ignore this system also.
Yes, sir.
But now at least we can know now. Okay, that's how it the structure is formed here.
Yes.
Anuswara followed by any the syllable of that particular varga, the last anunasika will come. Okay, when we combine. Okay, it could be Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Ganganapate, Om Ganganapate Namaha, Om Ganganapate Namaha. So all these places,
yes.
Okay, we can ensure that the last anunasika will come and that sound can be produced during such instances. Okay, as you are asking the Ganapati, you're asking?
Sagumhita Sandhi.
Sagumhita Sandhi. Here, this is one context that you are citing, but we have many such contexts. Okay, when we chant even the Ganesha Suktam. Okay, I'm sure all of us are, at least some of us know the Ganesha Suktam quite commonly being chanted. Okay, a very small mantra which appears in the Rig Veda only. Ganesha, do you know any other mantra related to or in praise of Lord Ganesha?
So the opening chanting what we did right now. Om Gananantva Ganapatigum Hava Mahe Kavinka Veenam Upamashravastamam.
Yes.
Then we were chanting that many times we tend to think why in the script there is Ganana Antwa Ganapatim Havamahe. In the Ganesha Suktam we chant Ganapatim Havamahe.
Yes.
But whereas when we chant in individually, Ganapatigum Havamahe is chanted. Sir.
Exactly. You can see as I said, Ganapati Suktam, what we chant, Gananantva, is called Ganapati Mantra. It's called Ganapati Mantra. So this Ganapati Mantra comes as a part of Ganesha Suktam. Ganesha Suktam has got so many verses.
Yes, sir.
So, Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe is one verse that comes as a part of Ganesha Suktam.
Okay.
And we are very familiar with the other mantra, which is Ganapati Atharvashisam, which comes in the Atharvana Veda.
Yes.
But we also have Herambo Upanishad, okay, associated with Lord Ganesha. Similarly, we have Ganesha Uttarapi Upanishad, Ganesha Purvatapi Upanishad. It's also in praise of Lord Ganesha. So we have few mantras, of course very few mantras, directly on Lord Ganesha. Okay, but here, in some of the cases, as you said, Om Ganana Antwa Ganapatim Havamahe Ganapatigum Havamahe. Here, actually in the Yajurveda, invariably in Yajurveda, you can see the Ganapatim, the Anuswara, followed by Ha. Okay, it becomes, okay, it remains as Ganapatim Havamahe. But in Rig Veda, okay, the Anuswara followed by Ha, it becomes, it is usually chanted as Gum. For example, Samhita. Okay, when you say Sam plus Hita, he also has, he comes. So, but when you chant Sagum Hita Sandihi Saisha Ganesha within Atharvana Veda. But in Rig Veda, Ganapatim Havamahe, that's the usual practice. Ganapatim Havagana Antwa Ganapatim Havamahe. So Anuswara followed by Ha. Okay, usually it has to be chanted as in Yajurveda, Gum. Not merely here, the Anuswara followed by Sha, Sa. Okay, and its modification. There also it becomes Gum. Okay, there are quite a few examples which can be justified to state this one. For example, tat chanyora vrinimahe. Can you split this particular word? It comes as a part of the Purushottam as the Shanti Mantra in the beginning.
Yes.
Tat chanyora vrinimahe. When you split the word, it becomes tat sham yaha avrinimahe. Of course, this is another rule actually. Tat plus sham, anuswara followed by tat shay ya.
Yes.
Okay, you usually say ya.
Yes.
Okay, so anuswara followed by ya becomes ya. Tat chayyora vrinimahe. That's another.
Stress is given.
Not merely stress. You don't say tat chay yara yoronamahe. It becomes ya. Okay, so for example, sam plus yukta, here sam is anuswara, followed by again ya or you is modification. So you don't say sam yukta, so sanyukta, so ya comes.
Yes.
So tat chanyora vrinimahe, sanyukta, all these such modifications okay, are very commonly seen. I think maybe in next class we'll take some example from very common mantras that we chant and how they are applied in these mantras, in these words. We'll possibly take up in the next class.
Sure, sir. Sai Ram, dear listeners, I think this was a very, very enlightening and lively session by Praveena sir, giving so many examples of how we need to chant and what are the grammatical fine points that we need to take into consideration while chanting Vedic mantras. And we shall continue this in the next session. And with this, we come to a conclusion of this session. And sir, we shall chant the Kshama Prarthana
Mantra together.
यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोऽस्तु ते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते अर्निशं मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष साईश्वर हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्री साईश्वरार्पणमस्तु.
सो बिफोर वी क्लोज अगेन वन्स मोर वी रिक्वेस्ट यू ऑल टू प्लीज डू राइट इन योर फीडबैक एंड योर वैल्युएबल सजेशंस एंड आइडियाज टू टेक दिस वेद जिज्ञासा फॉरवर्ड सो दैट वी लर्न मोर एंड मोर एंड मेक स्वामी मोर एंड मोर हैप्पी. On the other side is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Sai Ram and happy listening. Please do write your feedback to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. Sai Ram.